WAEAPNHBBM.
KUH mobile.
Snow.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Just making the drive in. Sat here listening to the radio for the first 10 minutes of my drive and didn't even turn the radio, this radio, on. Listening to the sports and other various news on WJR. How are you doing?
I am doing good. Unlike others, I am happy to see the snow. I am more than ready for winter. And although I did enjoy 60, 70 degrees in November, and let me tell you, this weekend sitting in the beer blind when it was 55 degrees was wonderful. Better than if it was 35 degrees, but I'm ready for the season change. It has to come at some point, and we might as well welcome it in.
Oh, you won't see me complain. Well, the only time I complain is if we get dumped on really heavy and I got to go, you know, clear it off. Although I got a tractor with a blade for that, so it's not the end of the world. I got a blower, but it needs attention, and I haven't attentioned it. But, so how did you do? Did you get one?
Yeah, Monday evening I shot a doe, decent size, and actually processing it tonight. So we'll be reaping the benefits of my kill this weekend.
Well, there you go. Who do you use for a butcher?
The guys that I've been hunting with, they butcher their own. So I'm going over to one of my buddy's pole barns, and we're processing three or four deer tonight. It'll be a first time for me, so I'll be spectating and just trying to figure out what they're doing and helping where I can.
Roger. Yeah, I did one of my own. I mean, I obviously had some experienced people helping me, but got my hands dirty, and it was an experience. I think I decided then that I just soon go pay somebody. But if you got a crew of experienced folks doing it, you know, then you'll have no problem. It's just like being there with the butcher. But I don't think it's something I'd want to. I learned that it's not something I'd want to learn to do myself in the future. That's what I guess I learned.
Yeah, I think I'll ultimately end up taking some of it to a processor because I want some sticks and summer sausage and things like that. So have to get some of it done, but, you know, if we can get 80%, 90% of it done, and then all I have to do is pay for sticks and summer sausage, then I'm ahead of the game. I can pay for more sticks and summer sausage and not have to pay for the processing. So it'll be pretty cool. It's a fun experience, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, if you've never done it, you should, you know, see how the whole process takes place. And, I mean, it's not bad. The guys know what they're doing. They know, you know, they know just how to make the cuts and all that stuff. And got tools to, yeah, I think one of the problems that I had when we did mine is I don't think we had the necessary tools to make the cuts the way you'd expect. And so the cuts were more a matter of opportunity than having the right saws and stuff.
Yeah, a couple of these guys have been doing processing their own deer since they were kids. So they've made investments over the years. They have the grinder. They have all kinds of tools for the job. So I think I'm in good hands, and won't be using the wrong tools for the job.
That certainly helps. You got to have that bone saw. So, yeah, very good. But, it'll be a cool experience. I mean, I think you'll enjoy it. I just, you know, when I said that, it's not something I decided I'd want to do myself. It's just because it's involved and, you know, you'd have to get all the tools in a big place, you know, to do it and all that stuff. And I just, you know, I saw it wasn't going to be in my cards. It was a cool experience. So, anywho, I got to get my car in today for some service, and I got to go to a big meeting while it's in service. So I got to steal somebody's car, and then it's my last day off tomorrow with grandkids. Going to be down in your neighborhood all weekend.
Very cool. That's better than working, that's for sure. So, yeah, you can come down and hang out in my neighborhood all weekend and relish in how bad the repeater coverage is, and then maybe Monday you'll be like, man, I really need to do something about that, and we can get moving. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, that'll be awesome that you're with the grandkids and hanging out. I'm sure you have more than enough vacation days left. I went through mine the other day and realized that I had enough to take time between Christmas and New Year's and every Monday for the rest of the year off. So I'm enjoying things from here on out, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not terribly off that. I've got, I think I got 8 days I got to burn. I got a few more that are banked that'll carry over, but I got 8 I have to burn. So I gotta start getting on it, especially when you consider there's some few short weeks. Next week is 3 days, and between Christmas and New Year's, you know. So I'm gonna have to figure out where I'm gonna get those 8 days in pronto. Probably sitting. Do some number scratching today when I get to the shop.
Yeah, for sure. Because like you said, once you look at a calendar, you're going to go, oh boy, how am I going to fit 8 days in? Because there's not much time left. You know, Thanksgiving is so late, then there's only like 3 weeks till Christmas. It's the end of the year is going to be here before we know it. So, yeah, definitely make sure you take a look at the calendar and get those in today, because you might lose them otherwise.
Yep, we'll do that. I have been kind of keeping tabs on it, but like I said, it's just, I think what I haven't been thinking about is just how damn close we are. Like you said, it's right around the corner, so got to make sure I get some in there. I always know that I could always take the 3 days off next week, or the 3 between Christmas and New Year's, that'll get me, I better look at that, because that still leaves me 5, and even if I took both those, I'd still have to get 2 in the 3 weeks. Yeah, I better get on that.
Yeah, for sure. The time will go very quick. I think I want to say Christmas Eve is on a Tuesday this year, so if you take that Monday, and then the time between Christmas and New Year's, I want to say it's 4 business days, maybe 5 at the most, and you can almost get like a week and a half or 2 weeks off out of it.
Yeah. We get Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and if either one falls on the weekend, we get the, if it falls on a Saturday, we generally get the Friday off. If it falls on a Sunday, we get the Monday off. So, in weeks, you get Monday, Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So this year you say Christmas Eve's on Tuesday, It means we'll have, I'll for sure want to take that Monday off. And then I hate working the day after Christmas, so I'll probably want to take those two off. So, yeah, I got to look at the calendar. Ah, well, first world problems.
Yeah, for sure. I got so many projects I'm going to complete. I'm so excited to have all this time off. I've been just so busy, and then so busy at work, too. I haven't been able to get a lot of stuff done, so I got so much stuff that I'm going to get done. It's going to be awesome.
Leave a little room in there in case there's any other fellow travelers. Yeah, well, look at you go, Mr. Ambitious. I have no such ambition. I thought I was going to have a garage built by the end of the year. That ain't going to happen. I've just been, again, getting to that. Now that I got the immediate problem out of my hair, now I'm back to this analysis paralysis. Do I go this big? Do I redo the cement? Do I not? You know, blah, blah, blah. So I got to stop that. But I know it's just the way I am.
For sure. I mean, you're making a time and financial investment. You want to make sure that what you're putting in is the right thing and you're not going to regret it in 6 months or 6 years. So I totally understand the need to overanalyze something like that.
Yep. Really, it falls on, the city will let me do 24 by 24, which is what the pad is, 24 by 24. And I can do it 24 by 24, and it's almost no muss, no fuss, just put it up. But I really want 24 by 36. And the minute you break, I think it's 600 square feet, which is, just over that. The minute you break 600 square feet, now you got to have footings and a real foundation. So now my slab may or may not meet, the specs, and I may have to dig that up. So that's what I want. I want to go that route, but I got to get somebody to come in there and analyze that slab, make sure, tell me it's sound, and nothing to worry about. It looks fine, but it was poured years and years and years ago, decades ago, and I don't know anything about it. So if I get it's a great slab, no need to dig it up, then I'll probably just go with the 24 by 24 and then focus on the 12 by 24 as an add-on later, so I don't have to deal with, the whole structure being a 24 by 36 and requiring, a foundation with footings. But if for any reason the pad should be replaced, then in for a penny, in for a pound, might as well go the whole route, and do the new pad and then pour the extra 12 feet with the footings and all that stuff and go for it.
Yeah, for sure. It's so many options and none of them are right or wrong. So either way, you're going to have a good new structure to use for whatever garage things you need to do. So, like you said, you could be in paralysis, or you could just execute with what you have and build on later. So I think you got some good options there.
Yeah, well, what boogers me up, it's pretty much those two things, but the other thing that boogers me up a little is, then I say to myself, if I'm pouring an all-new foundation and I'm going the full... if I'm doing all new concrete, well, then I can do anything I want, right? Then I'm not limited by any particular constraint. Although, then it might open up, how many foot from the fence and things like that may change, so, yeah, whatever. As you can see, that's where the analysis paralysis comes into play. Always does for me. If then, I'm not good with them. I've got to get myself, maybe I'll have Google AI figure it out for me.
There you go. That's a good solution. Just have AI figure it out for you and execute.
I think that's where they want us. You know, they want us to the point where anything we need to do. I actually used it a couple times just recently. I had heard everybody talk about using it to help them write. And I've always, took pride in, but yeah, I guess I do. I consider the written word, you know, it's forever. You know, you write something and throw it out there in the ether, and then, you know, so I'm very careful. I try to be very careful about it. I'll do a wrong they, there, you know, there. I'll do a wrong one of those every now and again, you know, so I'm not beyond the spell checkers, but I'm usually pretty good about all that, and good grammatically in the words I pick, I generally do pretty well when I'm writing, and, you know, so I never even thought about using something like AI, but I just, for giggles, I was having a little bit of a brain fart writing a mission statement for something, and, you know, and I had all the ideas I wanted, and I had it worded, but it was a little wordy, I didn't like the way it was coming out and all that, and so one of the guys at work said, he goes, you know, he sent it to me, so he sent it, he ran it through Google Chat or Google AI or whatever the hell it was, sent it back, and it didn't have it right, but it was like, it made some great, I said, oh my God, there you go, right, and I ran it through a couple more times, and I adjusted the, more casual, more formal, and all that, and I thought, hey, this is pretty cool, you can get used to this.
Yeah, it's definitely good. It doesn't, it's not refined the first time. It does take the human touch, but it's pretty effective. I've used it a few times and have been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, they even have it now where you can use it in chats. You know, like if you're in a... you know, I forget which one in particular, which forum I saw it in, but I think since it's Google-based, I think anything that's, you know, a Google-based utility or app, you know, you could ask it to analyze what you just wrote, and so you can almost use it on the fly. And, you know, that being said, I don't know if you could use it on, like, Facebook, for instance, but if you could use it, like, there, because some of the crap I see sometimes, I think to myself, oh my God, have you no pride? How can you, it's like, you know, I mean, I get it. Some people aren't really good with that, but some of the stuff is so bad. And I'm like, you know, by God, run it through this thing. You know, it's just, these words will be out there in the ether, attached to you forever.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I just parked in the parking lot here at work. So I'm going to, have to go in. I will talk to you soon. If you get a chance, shoot me over that list of mobiles that you had in your trunk, because I'm still interested, but I probably won't talk to you tomorrow because you're going to be with the grandkids. So I'll catch up with you next week. This is KERUH, and I'll listen out on your final.
Yeah, I haven't got around to it. I know I got to go dig around a little bit. It's not just, I mean, I could just send the list, but I need to figure out, are they complete, you know, is everything there, you know, and all that stuff. And so I just haven't, you know, made the time for it. I'll actually have a lot of time this weekend. There'll be downtime when I've got the kids and I'll be stuck there, you know, not at home. So, you know, that'll be a good time to do things on the computer. So maybe I'll do it then. All right, catch you later. I'm just turning into the lot here now myself. W8FU.
Shall we say police naughty die yet? And 8KPB. W8EAP.
Hey, you are. Hey,
CKJL.
got just enough time to say good morning, sir. Front of the high school, almost to the office.
Oh, got some tech work to do today.
Meeting. Our manager's meeting. So, some days they're good, some days they're bad. It just depends. So I'm not sure where this one's going to go yet. So in the next couple hours, I'll either be in a real good mood or a real pissy mood.
Oh, I know that feeling all too much. I'm heading up to Great Lakes Crossing for a new, that Primark that's up there? The thing with the door, or the door sounder as it's tripping, so I'm like, whatever. All we do is replace parts. We don't service it and everything else, so the claim is warranty. We'll see what happens when I get there. Is it going to be a warranty service or is it going to be a $1,200 bill?
There you go. The same stuff, every business. Same problems, just different. So, all right, cool, Jeff. I talk on you later. I'm pulling in the driveway here, so meeting starts in 7 minutes, and I don't want to be late. And a KCAK Joe and a KPP. Clear up here.
Well, let's hope that it's a positive outcome. 73G KCAK Joe to any KPP or how that goes.
RF and back monitoring myself. Sounds pretty good. It's a little snowy though. Can't hate us.
Just hear them sleigh bells ringing a ding, 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 ding. I don't know the words. You think I should pull the bike rack off my car? Trying to lay bike. Hold on, I'm distracted driving here. I got a new dash cam and I got it caught in limbo for a second, trying to take a picture of a license plate for the chat.
I am pulling my bike rack off this weekend.
You're pulling yours off?
Yes, sir. It's snowed this morning. No need for the bike rack for the rest of this season.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I think it's going to be pretty few and far between needing it. I think it's time to pull it. I'm going to pull mine probably when I get home. So, end of the year. No need running around with it.
Yep. And I'm going to hang my bicycles upside down in the garage on their hooks.
What device are you currently using to get on the network?
DV switch. But I keep seeing text messages pop up from KF8S.
Are they generated by DV switch, or are they coming up on your phone texting? Because there was a setting, I forget which one it was, that would cause a bunch of crap in one of the apps. I can't. It's been so long, I can't remember. But I remember one of them apps was having some sort of an issue with stuff popping up all the time. It was all the out of band stuff would generate all sorts of pop-ups. Hold on, I got a phone call. W8FD.
K8RUH mobile.
Okay, I'm back. Are you?
K8RUH. What's going on, Sean?
I was talking to Eric. He was at work talking on his phone, and I got a phone call that I had to take. It has been just one of those days. No one thing particularly difficult, but just a bunch of them all coming in simultaneously got me spinning in circles, so I'm glad to be out of it. So hopefully I got most all of it squared away, though. Just a weird, crazy day. Glad it's over.
Absolutely. I am sitting in traffic on 696, so that's not fun, but headed in the right direction, home. So, I definitely understand what you're saying, but, hey, think about the bright side. You have tomorrow off. So whatever you left behind, you don't have to deal with till Monday.
I wish. I started a spreadsheet. I got to do a matrix, and I got to figure out some capabilities on a bunch of equipment, and it's just been getting, the project's been getting hairier and hairier as it goes on, and so now I got to work on that, get that matrix done, and cross-reference it to some parts and some other various stuff. So I'll be doing that. So I got to get up tomorrow, get the kids off to school, and then I'm pretty clear. I got a meeting that I got to do regarding another project I got coming up real soon here. Well, it's ongoing, actually, but there's a certain particular date where it's the actual cut date where I got some big deals going on. But I'll be working on all that. I will be, like I said, in your neighborhood. I think you take Fridays work from home, so you know, maybe we, you know, if it works out, we can do lunch or something somewhere around there.
Yeah, I'll see if I can. I'll reach out in mid-morning or something. I got a repair guy coming, and then I got some running around to do. But if it looks like I can by 10, 11 o'clock, I'll shoot you a message on Telegram or See if you're on the radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to have both this system and then who cares cooking somewhere with. I'll take some notes and have those running, and I should have both. And it's the same for me. I don't know how it's gonna go. Like I said, I got to deal with the kids in the morning, getting them to school and all that, and then I got a meeting. I think it's at 10. And it could be 10 to 11 kind of an affair. So I'll have some windows before and after and stuff like that. So if it works out, it works out. If it don't, it don't. I'll be, you know where I'm at. I'm just south of you there a little bit. And pretty much game. And we, I mean, there will come a time where I'll have to go get the kids. If, I don't even know what time kids get out now. It's going to be, you know, 2-ish, 2:30-ish, 3-ish, something like that. So I'm going to have to be conscious of that as well. So I guess I'll just have the radios on and we'll play it by ear.
What, are they elementary or middle school kids?
Yes.
So I think if they're across the district the same, middle school is 313, and if I remember correctly, elementary is 337 or 338. So, yeah, you're locked up from 3 to 4 o'clock.
Yeah, probably, although I think my grandson's getting a lift with his buddy. They always ride their bikes to and from, and when the weather's a little icky, they get a lift. They get a lift in from one of the moms. So I think he's getting a ride tomorrow, so I don't got to deal with him. Because if I did, I'd have to get my granddaughter ready early and drag her out with me and take him, drop him off, and then, you know, then get her back, finish up getting her ready. And then tomorrow they got some sort of a pajama extravaganza, you know, optional, and you know, I'm sure she's going to want to participate in that, so I'm sure she's going to want to stay home and get ready. So, anywho, I'll figure it all out.
I am at 696 in Shaner, and it is absolutely winter here. It is just snowing. There's a little bit of snow, like, on the road. It's wet. It is. It's also dropped 5 degrees in the last mile and a half. Winter's here.
Roger. Well, I didn't look at the temperature, but I went through that little squall a little bit ago, and yeah, you're right. I was like, holy cow, look at this. It was sleeting coming down, you know, and the roads were getting covered and all that, and then I got through it real quick, and now it's, now I'm over by DeQuinner, and it's, just gray and overcast, so it was a briefly lived little squall, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Went through it myself.
It looks like my plans could be changing for the weekend, and instead of building a workbench in my garage, I could be putting my winter wheels and tires on, because it is time, apparently.
Yeah, I got to get my snowblade on my tractor, which I should have done any number of weeks ago, and I always thought I'd make one more pass, and I still might make one more pass just to get the leaves. All the leaves aren't down yet. I got a few persnickety ones, but I thought I would do that. But now I'm thinking, I should just put the blade on.
Yeah, I got to take my snowblower in and get a new paddle put on, or whatever they call those. I don't know. We'll see. I didn't even get my snowblower out last year, but, you know, I don't think I can get away with it 2 years in a row. We'll see what happens.
Yep. Same here. My snowblower was acting up, and I got a dozer blade for my tractor, so I didn't even bother playing with it. I was just going to take it in. My son was monkeying with it, and I think it's just got a junked-up carburetor. I don't know if I got to get a new one or just get it fixed, but... But anyhow, it is what it is, so. All right, Anthony, I've just got home. I've got to get inside. I got a bunch of crap I got to do here and get packed up and ready to go for the weekend festivities. And I'll probably be over in your neck of the wood long about 8, 9 o'clock and pretty much coming and going. So drive safe. Watch out for that winter storm. I know you're loving it, and we'll catch you in a bit. This is W8FU after yours.
All right, John. Have a good evening and safe travels and your travels back and forth across town. We will catch up with you tomorrow. K-E-8-R-U-H. I'll be monitoring.
K-E-8-T-F-M.
W-8-F-U, A-B-8 here.
N-8-K-B-B.
K-F-8-S.
What up, K-F-8-K-8-F-S, K-F-8-S? Are you warm enough?
Yep, I'm staying warm over here. Just got my UHF, VHF antenna working at the house here, so I can hear everybody again on RF. It's kind of nice.
Did you put it in the attic or did you put it in the sky?
Oh, I put it on the electric box with a mag mount.
Well, that's kind of different.
Yeah, it works pretty well. I mean, the SWR is, 2.0 or lower, mostly like 1.5. But there's certain areas, like the antenna seems to be tuned for repeaters.
Ah, very good. Well, I called an old buddy of mine today. Well, my grandpa's area. I saw his name on the screen, the Pi-Star screen. And I thought, huh. And he was my partner there for a little while. And he was more of a cop than he was a medic guy. But he did work the medic once in a while with us. And I chatted with him on Grand Rapids. He's a hammy. Turned out pretty good. Because he's on the hurricane thing. Now, how can a guy from Michigan be on the Hurricane Watch network? I have to tease him about that.
Well, I guess you need people outside the area, right, to relay information. So that's probably what's going on there. Is he part of the bomb cyclone watch? That's a new term that I learned, bomb cyclone, happening over in the northwest.
I'm going to have to look. I can't remember his call fine, but... he was telling me about it a little bit, and I saw it on his QRZ page. So he's up there now in years a little bit. He was a little older than me, and said he had a stroke. He's doing really well, but he said he was a cop, and then he worked at the Gerald R. Ford Museum for a while as a security guy. And he says after the stroke, he says, they took my gun away.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to be, I don't know, yeah, if you have a stroke, you can't shoot, right, or shoot straight, but, I don't know, you could probably train your brain, at least you can go to, like, the gun range or something.
Yeah, my guess is he just lost the fancy carry permit, because I know that there's a regular permit, which I have, which basically means nothing. And then there's the good permit, which means everything, but you have to be a judge or a lawyer or law enforcement or some reason that you're in jeopardy to get the permit that is good for everything.
Was this the same guy that wanted to, that has a repeater out there in Grand Rapids, or just a different person?
It's a different person, but that's how I found him. When they fired up that repeater, he was talking on it, using it, and
guess this thing is quite up in the air. He was telling me, and I don't know what story, what version is true, but he said it's about 400 feet in the air because they put it on top of a dune, and it was in an abandoned TV tower out there, and they got access to it.
Oh, nice. Was it, is it an All-Star, or is it DMR, or what is it?
It's DMR hooked on the MI5 network, so that Mike that, I forget, I know his call's like, I can't remember the prefix, but it was 8WM, that was the suffix, and, or 8MW, Mike Walsh, Mike Walsh, whatever, but that was the suffix, but I know he's actively involved in the MI5 system on the west side of the state, and they're doing a build-out out there now.
Okay, yeah, I've seen his call sign show up on the, not Pi-Star, but on, you know, on the radio. So I'm using my TYT 9600 here, and this thing's got DMR on it. So I've been scanning that a little bit, but one thing I've noticed with this radio is the squelch on analog isn't that great, so I got to figure that out, but it works great on DMR.
Let me know if you figure out how to do that, because I've got one of those too that I picked up from the estate, and it's an okay radio, I mean, but yeah, it's got a terrible squelch problem.
Yeah, the only way I've been able to mitigate that, it seems like it's a tone squelch problem, not necessarily a squelch problem. And the way I mitigated that was just do tone encode, you know, for the repeaters. That way, just squelch is muting the repeater, and then that seems to be fine. That's the only workaround that I've got.
Yeah, I uploaded the latest GD77 software on it. I got all of that to go and everything else, and the shortcut keys are kind of cumbersome. There's quite a learning curve on that, as you probably know. And on the digital side, where you're at, there's that W, you can see the frequencies on Oak or on radio reference or repeater book or whatever it was. But there's another digital bank that gets used once in a while over there in Pontiac, Bloomfield Hills area, right there. That one works fairly well because I can get that one from my house. And then, you know, the CMC machine you should be able to hit pretty easy. And the WA8BRO. So none of them are used that much, but they're used occasionally.
Yeah, I usually test my radio on that BRO repeater. You can use the Brandmeister Parrot on there, and you can at least see how well it works.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that one went anywhere. I know the CMC, if you go to Brandmeister, it's not hooked up to the Internet anymore. So it's basically whatever talk groups are somebody else is talking to, unless they're local and on it, that's about as far as you're going to get with it. Which is good. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I got it. Nobody's out there to maintain the darn thing, and it's not connected. And I did ask him about it, that Colin guy. I did ask him about it. He goes, yeah, I'll get to it. But I don't think that's one of his urgencies.
I gotta let you go really quick here. I gotta get a key off of a keychain, and I need two hands, so I'll talk to you in a little while. KFADS.
Take care. I'll be driving for the next 10-15 minutes. NAKPP.
All right, I'm back if you're still out there. It was one of these weird keychains where you have to take a screwdriver to it.
Yeah, I'm here. Well, good, you got it fixed. Figured a new house, you'd have all fancy digital locks. You know, face recognition and, well, what's the other new little hot thing? You walk near it and Bluetooth your, what do they call it, where it Bluetooths automatically. He just touched the doorknob and it unlocks.
Yeah, this is the apartment keys. Yeah, here I'm. I just put my watch up to the lock and it unlocks. And then it's got a backup key and all that stuff. But yeah, I've already replaced the locks here.
NFC, right? Is that what it's called? Near function controller, something like that. I can't remember the acronym.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what it's using. I don't know. I never looked it up. It's the something with the Apple Home Key or something like that. So I don't know if it's got its own little special sauce, but the delivery is probably NFC, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing, the stuff that they're doing nowadays. It's phenomenal. I'm waiting for the Ring doorbell to be able to unlock your door and recognize your face. That's next. It's hard to believe. It's 5:35 and it's almost complete darkness out here. Like, heard somebody on the news this morning make a comment. It's like the minute they change the daylight savings time and turn it off, it's like, poof, it went from 9 o'clock to 5:30.
Yep, sunset was like 5:03 today. So I was watching that a little bit because I got the HF radio next to me, and sometimes you can get like that gray line propagation where it's just turning dusk or whatever. But I was hearing Montana really good. There's some guy in Montana, and then there was another guy in Colorado doing POTA. But the one guy in Montana, I was like, oh, I'm on a hex beam with a kilowatt. He's like, well, yeah, that's why I hear you really well. And I heard the guy he was talking to somebody in Mexico. But the POTA one, the guy, I had left the radio on the same frequency as earlier this morning, so it was the same guy. So it's like, well, I'm not going to get double credit, so I was just listening.
You're in your new house, right? So, well, my question is, what are you using for an HF antenna?
The Challenge antenna. I think you've seen it before. Sean likes to refer to it as a chili dog antenna. So I just have that in my backyard, and I got a coax that I can, you know, there's an access point for wires and all that stuff that the builder put in, so I just tapped into that, and so I don't have to drill any holes, and it works out nicely. I was able to get two UltraFlex 7 coax down that tube along with the fiber line, and there you go. And then I just had to put the ends on them.
Yeah, that's my next paradigm. Things ever calm down for me, I'm going to play around with HF. I now have the credentials. I just don't have the time.
Yeah, I mean, once you start doing it, you kind of have like that muscle memory of things, and you end up having a bunch of tools in your toolbox. It's kind of like anybody that's like a handyman or whatever, you know, they can do anything because they got all the tools, right? It's like, well, you know, me, I can't like do carpentry and all that stuff because I don't have the tools. And I just happen to have everything like ready to go in boxes, and I've been planning this for like months. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this when I get there, and you know, I had a lot of mental plans that I was drawing up, and so it works out. The only thing that was different from my plans that I envisioned in my head was I wanted to build like shelving for my radio stuff, and so what I did was I went to Lowe's and just got, you know, some shelving, and then I used the miter saw and I cut it to pieces and I made kind of like double stacked rows out of it.
Sorry about that. You still there?
Yeah, I don't know how much you heard of me.
I heard the shelving, and then my radio went completely off. Screen went blank. So I go, huh, that's a new one. So I hit the little green button, and it turned it back on. I had to reboot. That was odd. Never did that before.
Yeah, I was just summing up that I built some shelving to hold the radios on my desk, and that's something I never had before. And you always see those pictures of people in their ham shacks, and they got like the nicely, like two rows of shelving that they have their radios tucked in and all that stuff. So I kind of took some inspiration from that. But as far as your radio going out on you, I wonder, do you have your auto stop on your car turned on?
No, I don't. I never turned that on. But that was kind of strange. I was driving, eventually moving, and it just whoosh, it went blank. Oh, well, I must have a ground loose or something would be my bad. So I'll have to look into that or see if it does it again. Odd. I see the only thing I was doing was turning off the heated steering wheel. That was the only button I was really touching because the steering wheel was getting kind of hot.
Maybe at a momentary surge of either voltage went up or voltage went down, and some of those radios are picky about that.
Yeah, it did something strange, so, okay. All right, sir, I'm going to let you go. I have to call the wife and tell her I'm almost there, so that sounds weird for me to say that. So I will chat with you a little bit later. I'll be back in the car. What time? 6:45. I'll be back in the car in probably an hour. So I will chat with you then. Clear up to yours, NAKVB.
Alrighty. Drive safe in this weather, even though you said you're near your destination. So hopefully nothing will happen between there and there. Talk to you later. KFADA.
NABBF Mobile.
Good evening, W8FU.
Would you believe that Eric's theory on LCD screen brightness was correct?
For some reason, you were a little broken on that last one. You said, can you believe that Eric's theory, and then I couldn't quite make it out correct.
I might have marble mouthed it. I said, would you believe that Eric's theory with the LCD screen brightness was correct?
Man, I can't believe anything Eric says is correct. So, yeah, that is a crazy one.
Yeah, how the repeaters are dead.
Dead, man. Put a nail in them.
It doesn't negate the issue entirely, but there is a direct correlation with the LCD brightness and the annoying whistling high-pitched noise that I hear.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, when I heard him talking about it, I thought, yeah, you know, I don't necessarily think that's crazy. It didn't sound like, you know, that kind of crazy, but I'm still a little surprised that that was right. Yeah, so there you go. You usually see something like that in displays that require some sort of high voltage, you know, and, you know, we've long been out of the realm of higher voltage screens, but I don't know what other electrical factors could cause that. Maybe Eric can shed some light on it. Eric? So, yeah, now I'm left with the decision of do I send it back or
Hello?
Do I live with it?
Hello? What I missed?
Get off your phone. You sound like that guy from Minnesota.
Talking shit about you.
Well, that's the way I operate. If you have a problem, go talk to Captain Don.
No. Your hypotheses. Anyhow, Eric, let Dakota explain, and then maybe you can then explain the theory. Dakota? All right, so there is a direct correlation between the LCD screen brightness and the annoying high-pitched noise that comes out of the head of my 500. If I have it on min, which is low as it goes, it's very, very prevalent. Pretty consistent, but not always there. It gets better on mid, and then it's essentially gone on high, other than, like, you can hear there is an open receive, and I think it's just a low-quality speaker. So, incredibly frustrating for a flagship $600 radio to have that kind of issue.
KVHAF for comment?
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is it did that on one of my radios. If you remember, Dave, remember I kept having that high-pitched squeal and it drove everybody crazy, and then I figured it out as the backlight. But it's something to do with the switching frequency. Whatever filtering is in that radio, it's not filtering the pulse width frequency when you change. When you change the backlight brightness, it's obviously changing pulse width frequency. So all I know is it did it on one of my $30 HTs, but you're right. You wouldn't expect it to do it on a $500 flagship. But there's another station out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is KZ8JF, Jason in Royal Oak. I've got a 500, and I'm not having any issues with it, but if you want to meet up and swap heads back and forth, see if the problem follows the head or stays with the base, I'd be happy to help you troubleshoot. I appreciate the offer. That was my next step. I was going to bug a couple of these other local guys that have a 500 and say, hey, let's swap heads real quick and see if the issue persists. I was able to replicate it on a bench with a dummy load and a power supply. I've swapped out the speaker with an OEM from Yaesu, and it's still there. It got better when I swapped the speaker, so that's something that confused me. If I can rule out the head or the bass, I guess one way or another, it's got to go back to Yaesu.
Let me see if I got it. Yeah, because Dave's got one, I've got one, there's another one, and I think you're the only one that has this problem. So it's unique to your setup. That's a good idea, is swapping out the control head. So, I certainly there's a number of us that have these, and you can catch any one of us to try it, figure out what's going on. Maybe you just got a bummer, you really got to send it in for warranty or replacement or whatever, See, you say you kept the wrong one, darn it. Didn't you have two of them shipped to you? You sent the wrong one back. Well, naturally, if I have the option, I'm going to select the wrong one that was defective. I sent the other one back because the box got mangled in shipping. So I'm like, okay, well, that one might have issues. You can go back. And I'm really pressed on. I'm going to try it when I get in the driveway. Well, where is that buried? Is that on that quick menu, or do I got to go in the deep menu? Option 4 on the main menu. All right, I'll give it a try and see what I find out. Dave, go ahead and make one, otherwise pass it to Eric. I'll be listening back in a while. W8FU.
Go ahead, Eric. I don't have much to contribute on this topic.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. I think it was my Quansheng UVK5 that was doing that when I put the mod, the hack mod in there. I think maybe my ATS-25 shortwave, too, gets a little noisy when you turn the backlight down. But it's whatever circuit is controlling the backlight. So, yeah, if no other radio, if no one else's radio is doing it, then obviously send it back. But that was kind of funny, though, that it has something to do with the backlight circuit, like I thought.
I just turned it back down to the minimum, and it's the whole time the speaker's active, it's like whistling. And I can't even describe it. It just sounds like a powered-on speaker with a very high-pitched frequency that's just annoying and ear-piercing.
Let me ask you, what frequency do you think it is?
I just heard of not being able to hear it, so very high. Okay, I don't know if my old ears just can't pick it up, but I've got mine on minimum brightness, and I've turned up the volume. I'm listening as best I can. I don't hear nothing. It's quiet as a mouse, dead quiet. I'm going to call Yesu tomorrow and say it's coming your way. I do like the dimmer light, though. Thanks for that. With where I've got it mounted, it was a must. It's absolutely blinding right now when it's on max. Right. I'll just make this my last, but coincidentally, it was in the, in the big menu, I had to go to display, and it was option 2 under display. Option 4 was band scope, so hope that was just a typo. You beat me to it, because I just went back into my menu and realized it was 2. Okay, just wanted to be absolutely certain. I was looking at the same thing. It, clearly says brightness, option 2. So under display. So yeah, mine's on minimum right now, and like I said, quiet as a mouse. But I'll leave it like this, and in case it pops up under certain conditions or something like that. All right, I do got to get inside. Catch everybody in a bit. W8FU. All right, Sean, thanks for testing. NADDF. You guys still out there?
Yep, still here. KF8F.
Anyway, not to beat a dead horse to death, next topic. You get everything situated, baby, get your coax all taken care of.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm talking to you on it right now. I'm only using 10 watts. I mean, the antenna's not the best position and all that stuff, but the SWR is good and all that. So with the length of feed line, I'm guessing I'm probably dropping a few dBs in signal by the time it gets to the antenna.
Sounds good. There's like a tiny bit of snow if I were to nitpick it, but it's also pouring rain and you're using a tiny antenna on the side of your house. So, no, you're doing good.
Yeah, I can bump it up here. I think it's 25 watts. Sometimes this is the 9600. So did the snow go away here, or is it about the same?
Give me a 1-2.
Well, this is with the 25 watts, and then I'll change it down to, 10 watts again. So this is 25 watts right here. I'm going to change it now. This radio is very finicky. This is a lot too many buttons to press. This is 10 watts now. 1, 2, 3, 10 watts. KC8 UMP repeater. KF8S.
Not much of a difference. A little bit cleaner on 25, but that's fine.
All right, I'll just leave it here. I am going to put a, I'm going to get an NMO mount, and I'm going to put the 2x4 on it, and then that's going to live over there.
Roger.
And we'll see how that, that goes for a little while, as long as nobody complains.
What is that? Is that face on the south side of your house?
It's like, yeah, it's on the south, I mean, sort of, southeast, I guess. It's kind of at an angle, so southeast side of the house. Yeah, so, I mean, it's got clear line of sight towards Mount Clemens.
Sounds perfect. I think once you get that 2x4, it'll be substantially better, but it's already fine. No, you sound good. I honestly, like, if you would have said, I didn't know if you were on the note or not, so if that's any consolation.
Yeah, I'm on the TYC 9600. It's kind of like if the RT3S was a mobile. That's kind of what it's like. It's running OpenGD77, and I think the power levels are accurate. I remember tweaking it on a meter. You can, like, adjust the powers so that they match and stuff. So I think it's running 10 watts, but it might be a little bit lower than that. That's fine. But that's cool. It's all working.
Speaking of 2x4s, Eric, did you ever find your antenna? I remember the other day you said someone stole it.
W-A-E-A-P. No, it's so well disguised because it's black. And then a dark, rainy night, I looked up and I swear I didn't see it at all. So that's a good thing. No, it's still there. I'm talking on it. But, man, when it's dark out and rainy, you can't even see it up there. I mean, it's really invisible.
All right, good. Yeah, I remember you saying that, and I never asked you about it.
Yeah, my match is a little high. So I took my ground planes off it when they're doing the roof, redoing the roof. So I took the ground planes down. So it's just grounded to a metal aluminum bracket. So there's not nearly enough ground plane. It's not too bad on 440, but on 2 meter the match is pretty high. So I got to get up there and put my ground radials on it again. But it's working pretty good.
Yeah, I can't believe how good mine's been on the electric box. It's all metal box, so.
Legitimately grounded too, though, so that helps.
Yeah, I got a dumb. Whoops. Turn that down. I got a dumb question. Anyone out there with a TYT MD 9600 know if these actually do 220? I can't get mine to do 220. It says out of band. I found that out when I put my code plug in for my RT3S.
I don't think it can. It might be able to listen.
No. It won't even let me listen. If I go to a channel that's got 220 programmed in it, it just says out of band right on the screen. It won't even, you don't have to key up for it to say that. It just says it as soon as you hit the channel. It says out of band, you have no receive, nothing.
Well, that's a bummer. Does that 890, does that thing do 220? I didn't even look.
Yeah, the 890 does 220 and a couple other bands. And aircraft receive and all that. I go back and forth with the mod. I mean, the frequency mod, you know, the shortwave mod is pretty crazy. And I play around with it, and I'm like, yeah. Then I just put it back to stock. But the cool thing is you can go from stock to the hacked firmware really easy. It's not like, you know, GD, open GD77. I don't think you can just flash it back. There's something you have to back up first. But anywho, I just got my drop-in charger for my H3 today. So now I can bring that. That'll be my new work radio.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. So, Dave, can you hit the MI5 now?
Yeah, I can. I should be able to reach MI5, no problem. Because, I mean, I think it's on the same tower as this one. And hello, Cujo.
Hello, fellas.
Oh, before I forget, yeah, and Greg and I were talking DMR Simplex, so that was cool. So I don't know, maybe when you're home, we can see if we can hit each other.
Well, I'm home right now, but I don't know if we can do DMR Simplex. You could try. I don't know what frequency. I don't know what channels I have in here. Simplex. I'll have to look. But, Let's see where you're at. Might be able to.
It's not that important. I just thought I was, I thought we would try it, and it worked out pretty well. You was coming in like an S. One or two. We were both like S2 or 3 to each other. It's hard to really tell on the radio. I don't know how to get to the RSSI screen what the actual signal was, but it was like you said just a little bit after the R and DMR on the display. I'd hooked the Fusion radio up, but it seems like, as far as digital goes, most of us have got DMR equipment over Fusion equipment.
What kind of DMR did you get, Dave?
Nothing new. It was just hiding in a box until I finally got to my final destination. It's just the TYT MD9600. It does the Open GD77 firmware, just like the RT3S and the other family of radios. So that's kind of why I started getting everybody interested in that one. When I found a deal on, what's that site, R&L, it came with a power supply, too. So it was the radio power supply, and it was like under $200, I think. And so I got one, and then a couple other guys got one. And then, since it does the Open GD77, everybody was liking that.
I just got that MD380, which has the stock firmware on it. So I met up with you guys and took care of it all for me, and I thank all of you very much for it. Now it's here in my van. I got it on 50 milliwatts with the open spot from WFU, and I have a LTE hardwired modem, cell modem, all connected. So, yeah, I'm cheating, but it's the only way right now.
Yeah, it's just a long, what they call it, a long microphone to the radio. That's what they usually call it.
Only called it cheating.
Well, in the way you're using radio through the whole, like, link, if you think about it, because you got, using your walkie-talkie, your HT, got the open spot, those are talking to each other through RF. And then the cellular modem is talking to the tower through RF. So you're really just, you're talking to a radio tower, just you're getting to the destination in a different way.
Yeah, He does have a mobile DMR. He says he's willing to part with. I'm like, cool. And he's looking at, he wants a VHF mobile. I'm like, I have one of those. So might do a swap with a little bit of extra incentive on it and go from there. I just got to hook up with him one of these days.
KF8S. Dakota, you still around? May have gotten a phone call.
Yeah, I'm just leaving Royal Oak. I've been here since, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Everybody keeps on saying there's snow out there. I mean, we had snow over here, too. It looked like it was sticking for a little bit, but I was looking at the high temperatures, the low temperatures. We're not going below freezing, so in theory, there's no way for it to stick unless it's magic snow. I mean, you know, stay in snow form.
I was going to say the only place you get magic snow is in Detroit.
Well, that's ash. The ash falling from the sky.
I was out in Plymouth and on the west side a little bit, and I had some pretty good flurries. Windshield wipers on, it was kind of sticking. But then it all melted.
Yeah, tomorrow's high is going to be 46. So there is one day, they say, well, I mean, they're going far into the future here, so you never know. Next Thursday, it's going to go down to 28 for a low, and then next Friday has a chance of snow. It's going to be rain. Well, that's going to be the coldest day next week. So there's some system coming in. We're going to get back up to 52 on Monday. It'll be rainy. But, yeah, I mean, it's Michigan. We're going up and down. The nice warm days are over, of course. I think it's finally, we finally outlived our Indian summer, whatever they call it. So, and we're in late November, so this is expected. A little bit there. I think you said you had nobody at your house to shovel. I don't even have a shovel yet, so I should probably get a shovel. I plan, as long as it's fluffy snow, I plan to use the leaf blower to clean the driveway, and then if it gets thick enough, then I got the big two-stage. I don't know if I need a two-stage snow blower. I think it's a little too much for what we get here, but we'll have those one or two storms where I'm going to go, yay, I'm glad I have it.
My driveway will eat up the two-stage because it's crushed asphalt.
Yeah, that's no good. Are you able to use a single stage on stuff like that or no?
I had one, and then it just went kaput on me. So, I really don't shovel the driveway that much. I do what I can, kind of thing. But if it's a heavy snow and they come down the street with the plow, and then they push it all up against my van, then I'm kind of up the creek. Because my son moved out in July, so, and I really can't do it. I got a bad shoulder, which I had surgery on last year, and I don't feel like tearing it up again. And, of course, now with my neck, it's just, I won't be able to lift anything. You know, if we had a big, heavy snow within the next couple months.
I guess the only solution for that is just four-wheel drive, I guess. Try to drive over it. So my neighbors did back at the old place. They would never shovel their driveway. They just had big SUVs or trucks or whatever, and so glad I'm not there anymore because they used to park in front of my driveway and they would disobey the snow ordinance where you're not supposed to park in the street, and then the
plows would just bury the whole stuff in front of my driveway because they refused to move, and so glad I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Well, all I really got to do is when I see the plow driver, I just say, hey, can you plow on the other side of the street and not block me in this year? I'm sure he'll accommodate my request. You were in what, Sterling Heights, and it moved up to Emily or something like that? Okay, you think you
go. I'm closer to Chesterfield now. But yeah, I was in Sterling Heights. And yeah, over here we got 23 Mile, which is a 5-lane road, and I think it's one of their artery roads, so they're going to probably plow that as one of their priority roads. I'm not sure what it's going to be like in the subdivision, though.
And an HOA, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not sure how they do it. I think right now the builder's probably going to take care of it, because they haven't built, the subdivision's only built, like, maybe, like, 5%, I don't know, 10%, no, I have no idea what percent, but, so the builder is kind of like the custodians right now, so I think they have their own crew doing it. They have a street cleaner that comes by, so I imagine they're going to have their own plows and stuff, but I'm not too far from the exit to get out of the subdivision, so I'm not like, some of these guys are like way deep in the subdivision. I'm pretty close to the entrance, so I wouldn't have very much to deal with.
Oh yeah, they'll, since it's still in phase building, the developer will take care of the streets right now. Because they have to be able to get their trucks in and out. So they'll take care of the snow and the salt and street sweeping and stuff to keep it clean. That's part of their HOA agreement.
Yep, I'm sure they'll negotiate some kind of contract at some point and to take care of that, to take care of the snow removal. But if I have to, I can... You know, I've got my snowblower, which should be able to handle most of everything. I don't, you know, if it snows that bad where I'm stuck, I'm not, probably won't be going anywhere anyways. So, I'm just going to, like, sit at home and relax that day.
Yeah, if we have severe enough weather like that, where it, you know, the roads are shut down and stuff, my manager has the discretion to pay everybody for the day, but no travel. And my old boss, and I like him too, I mean, he was awesome. He's like, if I can make it to work, you can make it to work. And that's the model that we go through, or go by right now.
Or in other words, if I gotta be here, you gotta be here. But yeah. No, but I'm sure there's some days he's not going to want to travel to. So, yep, all works out well. I just winter I don't like traveling for anything, so I'm glad they don't ask us to travel for work during winter. Usually, the earliest they start having us travel is maybe like May, but it's only like one or two times a year to meet my team, and we have like a team summit. And we all kind of get in one place for a week and just hash out plans for the year. And then we'll all go back to our locations.
So your work is different than mine. I mean, we are life safety, so somebody's got to be out there at one point or another. What I do, I mean, it's a give and take kind of thing, but I'm also the on-call technician the better majority of the year.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, not everybody has the nice luxury of, so were you affected during COVID then? You weren't able to really go anywhere to do anything?
Oh yeah, I take, what is that, furlough, I guess is what they call it, rotating furlough. But because, one, I was the senior access technician for my company, and two, one of my contracts was Metro Airport. I was an essential worker, and then another co-worker of mine who was a senior fire tech, level 4 NISA certification stuff, he was essential. So pretty much he and I ran the service district for Detroit, and the, you know, in our Detroit district for that entire time, so I was never laid off.
Yeah, I actually switched jobs during COVID because of the demand for remote workers for the field that I was in. They had all the people working in offices and stuff, but there's a lot of, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't able to, or they weren't experienced enough to have the discipline to work from home, so people that did have experience doing it, I think, you know, had a better shot at switching jobs during that period, and I took advantage of that. Some recruiter found me, and I just said, well, I'm not doing anything, I might as well go through the interviews. And I wasn't too happy at my old job, so they didn't give me any incentive to want to stay, so I took advantage of it, and I'm glad that position was open. So so far I've been here about 4 years, so but it's been a rocky ride, at least this last year, so, but I think everything's behind us now, but hooray, and all that stuff.
I've been at my job over 30 years, so I'm kind of set in my ways. You know, being a senior tech, I don't have top seniority, but I'm like number 3 or 4 of the, you know, in the top tier. I'm a senior tech, and I'm also a senior union member, so I have a little bit of leeway at what I want and don't want to do. And with company seniority, I'm the 3rd highest in my office.
Yeah, that's what kind of screwed me at my old job. My old job, I was there, you know, like, I can't remember, 23, 22 years, I don't remember. And there was no concept of seniority and all that stuff there, so I was like pretty much the wild, wild west. So, but there was no unions there or anything, so there was nothing to protect you and nothing to, you know, no incentive to stay there, and you know, and there's no reason to want to stay there, you know, for pension reasons or anything like that. So I had a 401k, so it was pretty much, you know, that you keep that when you leave, and there's no particular advantage to staying. So I left, and they were about to convert everybody's unlimited, or their PTO time off. You used to have it banked hours. And, you know, if you left, you cashed out. And they were about to switch everybody to unlimited and get rid of their pool. So I got out at the right time. So they had to cash me out. So it's kind of like I got a month's worth of pay leaving, too.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I have, because of how many years I got in there, I have 5 paid weeks of, vacation time, I guess you could say. 5 paid sick days and 5 floating holidays. So I basically have 7 weeks of PTO.
Are they pretty lenient on your requests? Like if you want to take 2 weeks off, you can get 2 weeks off, or do you have to kind of like schedule it and plot it out and all that stuff?
The sick days, you know, you can call in the same day. Take a paycheck day. Floating holiday is 1 day notice. And for a regular vacation day, they request a 2 week notice. But I gave them all that when I found out I needed surgery, and I used everything up. And I was off for a month.
Yeah, they're about to institute, they call it emergency sick leave or something like that, which I thought was odd. But basically in place, so it used to be emergency COVID sick days, and then they like, well, we're going to change this to emergency, I forgot whatever I just said, emergency like absence or something like that. And they say that pool is going to be used for like regional disasters, like say if you have like a hurricane, which, you know, we don't have a hurricane here, but if you have a hurricane or, you know, something happens in your area where you can't work, or, you know, you're trying to, you know, deal with that issue, they consider that emergency sick leave.
No, we don't have anything like that, but, I mean, if I have to take a day off, say, hey, I gotta go do this, you know, I have something I have to do, I can't miss it, blah, 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 my boss be like, all right, just put hours on your timesheet. Because right now, because I was off the entire month of October, I burned up all my PTO days, sick days, and vacation days, everything.
Does that reset at the end of the year, or how does it's per year, or is it banked like you accumulate it throughout the year as you work?
I think I get an automatic two at the beginning of the year. So I forgot how it goes now. I mean, but we're union, so our way of doing it is different than the corporate way. I mean, but we redid our contracts. We got that fifth week. In our union contract, I'm not sure all the stipulations of how everything went. I don't pay attention to it. I just say, okay, I like it, and I vote yes or no. But I can plan my vacation days out through the year, and I'll plan out our August for our Made a Fair week, and I'll have that written up, and then all the other vacation days I just take on a whim.
I usually try to plan. Well, so we kind of have unlimited, but not everybody, you know, not everybody takes. It's not. I hate when they call it unlimited. It just means you got to coordinate. But I try to take a week off every quarter. That's my minimum. And I actually go in the calendar and I try to plot it out for the year and then get it approved by, you know, with the bosses. And so then that works out well, because otherwise I'll forget to take time off and things like that. And I need some time off during the year, otherwise I go crazy. But what was I going to say? Yeah, it's just I remember what I was going to say. Yeah, my wife's going to join. She's going to have to join a union, I guess. She works at Corwell, and then they just voted, they had a vote to be in a union or not be in a union, and I guess the majority voted to be in a union, so we're gonna be experiencing that. I want to see how that works out with their paycheck and all that.
My union dues aren't that high. I mean, they're quite small. I mean, we're a small union, or a small local, I should say. And, you know, it's not bad. The advantage about a union is a guaranteed pay raise on how your contract is written. So it's a 3-year contract, a 4-year contract, and what your percentage raise is every year. Whether you suck at your job or not, you get a raise.
Yeah, those are the pros and the cons, right? So there's no incentive to do better. I mean, I would imagine if you would do better that they would give you more, but they should have some of that in the contract. You can't just, I mean, is like the bare minimum like inflation? Like, if you do your job, you get inflation raises. If you do better than your job, you get more, or something like that.
There are some unions out there that it's written into the CBU, the collective bargaining unit, where, okay, so your wife gets a 3% raise each year, but her performance is better than another coworker, through the contract where she can go to her manager and say, hey, I believe that I deserve more money for what I do, and I've done this and I've done that. You never compare yourself to other coworkers. You just say, I believe that, you know, that I should deserve an additional 2% because of what I do here and this and that.
They can agree with you or not agree with you at that point. But, yeah. I wouldn't mind, you know, in the position that I'm in, I wouldn't mind that there was some kind of union, but at the same time, I feel like I'm not near the end of my career, but I'm, like, in the latter stages of my career where I'm to the point where I don't care anymore. I just pay me to do my job, and I'll do my job to the best of my abilities, and if you're going to try to make me compete with somebody else that's, you know, younger and, you know, has more time than me, then, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do my job, and if you really think that that's not good enough, then, maybe I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, like I said, I've been with my job for 31 years this year. Since 1993, I've been with this company. But because of the way I do my job, and I give respect to earn respect, and what I give back in return. And the new ones that came in, they see it. They try to be like myself or my coworker, who's my best friend, and they can't match what we have. I mean, the one guy that I train, like, I've been doing, you know, I've done this for 17 years, blah, blah, blah. But when I walk into a customer of mine of over 20 years, he goes, yeah, the new guy, he kind of likes himself too much. So have him tone it down. He just rubs some people the wrong way. He can't do that. He can't be like me.
Huh, interesting. All right, the kids are bugging me for food, so I better feed them before there's a riot. No, I'm just, whatever. I got to make sure that they're taken care of, so I'll listen out, and then I got to take a break. I'll be listening on and off over here. KF8S.
Take care of your kiddos, kiddo. Yeah, they call you guys monikered me as Cujo, which I really appreciate. I feel honored for that moniker. At work, I walk in the office and I'm like, there's the goat. That word I hate. I hate being called goat. But go take care of kiddos. I'll be here for a while. I'm just in, I still got another half hour, 45-minute drive. KCKGO, 73 for now.
Sunday, I think, or something like that, it's supposed to be. full on snow. Looks like there'll be some colder weather where the skis can start getting the snow guns on.
On Grand Blanc for work, or do you live up in Grand Blanc?
Work in Auburn Hills. I used to live in Grand Blanc, but kids still live down here. It's a thing at the school this evening, but I live up in Flushing, just northwest of Flint.
Oh, I live in Memphis. My office is in Auburn Hills, and I work wherever they tell me to.
Yeah, I know where Memphis is. Our neighbors, when I was a kid, when he retired from the Warren PD, he moved up there, and they built a house on some property with a pond and all that jazz.
I live literally in downtown Memphis. You know, my house is four doors away from the police department and across the street from the fire department. So, that's literally downtown.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where they moved to. I know we were, I think we went down a dirt road or something for a while, and it was turn left at the junkyard. There was one of those houses with, you know, the bathtub and the broken down cars in the front lawn.
Yeah, I must have got one of the five streets for this. There's nothing in Memphis. You know, just a gas station, a bar, a winery, and a catering business. You know, a couple of little stores here and there, but nothing major. We're only 1 square mile, so one street length, you blink, you go through it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere where I'm at. 4.5 acres, and I've been there about a year and a half, and I have yet to meet my neighbors. I talked to the guy across the street once, but never really introduced ourselves, and that was it. I'm pretty secluded. I've got woods all around me, so I don't even really see them.
And I see my neighbors when it's warmer out. I mean, we get together. You know, my one neighbor fixes my trucks. My other neighbor, you know, his dog sits there and likes to mess with my dog. So we chit-chat here and there. I got pretty good neighbors all around. It's like a little family atmosphere where I live. I enjoy it. It's quiet because I hate the city.
Oh, yeah, I hate having to drive down there now. I used to live off Hall Road, and I couldn't stand it before, but, after living on it for a while and getting away from it, it's a dream not having to drive that road. it's nice and quiet up by me, too, except for the, occasional gunshot of somebody doing target practice.
The way it should be. Where are you working in Auburn Hills? What road?
I'm at Chrysler, so the big tower in the sky.
Oh, I know that place. I'm just right up the road. I'm off of University. But I've been to that tower. Wedged my truck in the parking deck because security forced me to park in the deck. I said, I won't fit. They say, you need to park there. I'm like, okay, you're going to pay for it. Wedged my truck right underneath the entranceway. And then they yelled at me and said, you told me to park there. I told you I couldn't. The only reason I was there is for the ATM that was in the lobby area or something like that.
I don't even know if they... I think the machine's still there. I don't really think they have it powered on, but, bit different these days, but I like it. As long as the check still clears, I'll be there.
Been here, been with them for 31 years. Check clears on Friday. My wife goes shopping Friday afternoon, and I'm broke on Monday.
Yeah, my problem with that is I'd be out of money for a month. They decided to save money on payroll, only pays once a month.
They used to be bi-weekly, and then they went to weekly years ago. But I think they take more taxes out, way more taxes for a monthly check than they do a weekly.
Yeah, it should be about the same in the end, but it's just, once you're on it, it's not bad. It's, you know, when you're just start the job, you know, you gotta wait a month to, you know, get the month that you get paid for, and then another month to, it gets tight for a while until you get into the system, but, yeah, it's, I don't know, I like being paid weekly, but the monthly just kind of is a big stinker.
Yeah, I can understand that one. Well, I have arrived at my final destination, and the dog is licking the window, which is usually my cue to go inside before my wife goes nuts. So I'll say 73 on your final. This is KDO, Cujo.
Alrighty, 7-3, says the BOI.
Oh man, I hope I didn't leave a radio on. If you're hearing anything, call me.
I don't know what that means.
Sometimes I leave the house and I leave a radio on, and then she calls me when I'm halfway to work or at work. She goes, "What the hell is all that noise? What the hell?" And she just starts whacking things and unplugging things until she finally makes it go away.
Needs like a master power switch that she can press when you're not there.
There actually is. I've showed it to her before, but that was before.
So did Larry tell you he got a radio with no just like me?
No, which one did he get? Did he get like a clear note, or just build one himself, or what?
No, he just, he bought the same one as me. The AllScan UCI 120 from the AllScan guy. And then he just hooked up, he's got an ICOM microphone hooked up to it, so you'd have to ask him about that, but it was kind of cool. He sounded really good.
I can't remember the form factor on that. Is that the little, like the little blue box jobbies?
Yeah, it's like the next level. Like, okay, so the blue box was the first one that came out, you know. And I bought one, and I think Fred bought one, and he bought a couple to monitor all of his nodes. And then, so he partnered with some manufacturing thing, and now he mass produces these things. So they're really reasonably priced, you know, almost the price of one of those little dongles. So it's all like $110 shipped, right? And then you just, like, if you've got an extra Linko microphone, you have a specific one, like an EMS 57, but you can also wire up any other microphone to it. So then that hooks into the front of it. And then the other side, the USB, sound fob adapter thingamabobber, so that plugs into your All-Star node. So then you've got this
nice little radioless interface, and it's got a really good amplifier. You hook up an external speaker to it, and it sounds really good.
Oh, so it's okay. So it's basically the fob with a speaker amp, probably a volume control, and a mic jack, push the talk circuit, and all that stuff. So you supply the Pi and microphone. If I, right, that's kind of what I'm guessing.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a Pi. It could be a Wyze box. You know, it's just a USB. So it just plugs in. As long as you got something that runs All-Star, it'll plug into it. So it's nice for, I like it for monitoring, you know, just kind of having it sit aside, and then you can dedicate your RF radio to something like this. Like I'm talking to you over RF, and then that can be on the node or wherever, you know, wherever you want it. And it works really good with the DV switch. You know, if you hook up the digital side of it, so you actually sound pretty good on digital with it. The other side can't really tell because you're using, for all intents and purposes, you're using a nice little microphone without any RF, you know, no radio component to get to have to be vocoded and all that stuff. So the other side can't really tell.
Roger. I still want to do one up on a Pi 2 and maybe use one of those Pi Sugar battery packs and finagle the whole thing in a really small Pi 2 size package with a electrolyte condenser, you know, and a little micro switch for push-to-talk. Speaker's going to be a hard part to get, you know, anything that's worthwhile in a very tiny package, but that's still my goal, is to make something like that. I've wanted to do that for a while. I got all the pieces parts to do it, and I just kind of, I don't know what happened. I was shining off on something else.
Yeah, just not a priority. You can also make one with a K connector plug or something. That way you can plug any microphone into it if you wanted to, in addition to the built-in one, and also get your audio out. I mean, if you want to really get fancy.
Right, you could certainly do that. You know, but I, you know, it's kind of like my little pocket nodes that I built. You know, everybody's saying, oh, you know, I'll put an external antenna connector on it, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and all this, and fine, but you're looking for something else then, right? You know, those are very specific. They were built to be, you know, very frugal on power and heat and, you know, and very compact. And I agree, you know, having this, that, or the other, you know, is, you know, all that stuff is all good, but then get what you got, right? You know, the one I'm going to build is, you know, the idea, the whole concept is to fit it in a, you know, a slightly, you know, a little bit bigger, like the Pi Sugar case. Looks like it has more than enough room for me to do everything I need to do. The speaker, again, will be the tricky part, but, you know, that's where a concession will have to be made. Now, maybe I'll have to have an earphone jack on it and just use it as a earphone and hold it up like a microphone, headset jack or something. But I really don't want to do that. But again, you know, how small of a speaker can one get?
Yeah, I'd have to burst the bubble, but you could just get one of these little Grandstream phones like Captain Don and I got. And they're completely Wi-Fi phones, and they hook up to Wi-Fi, and you just dial. You could dial into your own personal node, and then from there dial out to where you want to go. Silly stuff like that.
Yep, there's a million ways to do it, and there's a lot to be. You know what? Now that you mention it, that might be where I. You know, where I lost interest in the project, because those things were kind of a hot topic right about then, and they are very similar, but Yeah, no, there's a lot of ways to go. You gotta think exactly what you want out of something because there's all sorts of ways you can do things. My nodes are not the ones that I was building way back in the day. First of all, there was nothing else out in the market, so if nothing else, there was no option. The guy that made that stupid one in the little fishing tackle box. It's like, okay. But that aside, they filled a very specific role. And if you were looking to do something, longer range, outside antenna and all that, I wouldn't even go that route. I would go a whole different route. Like I said, you got to decide, what your goal is and then figure out what the best way to do that is. And you're right, to be a Grand Stream phone or something, you just got to figure out, what do I want this for? So that's the other thing too. I got ground wire on my cell phone, so why bother with ham radio at all?
Yeah, we could just all go on Discord, right? And voice chat on Discord.
That's just it. That's everybody just keeps scurrying into their own little world, their own little place where they put up their own little walls and, charge admission. They, gotta be let in and now everything's all cloistered off into these little communities and we're just like it. We're doing the same thing really in a way. I know you've gone to great pains to give a lot of access, but you've also gone to great pains not to, be open. So it's kind of a mixed bag, So it's all a matter of what you want to do. So I think it's all a lot of fun, right? The fun is building the stuff, using the stuff, figuring out how to make it work and all that stuff. But I always view it like a mall, and it's dying just like malls. You got to have your anchor stores. I view the repeaters as the anchors, and then everything else are your, rides on that. I might only be there to go to, Hot Topic, but Hot Topic wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Sears and Hudson's on the ends. At least back in the day. I'm talking foreign language to kids nowadays. What's a mall?
It's those things that they build outside and people try to go to in the winter. Like Partridge Creek. Like that's what killed Lakeside. It's like an outdoor mall killed Lakeside.
Yeah, I think the retailers found that, you did a lot better with your own entrance, and your own parking, out in front of your place, because people came specifically for your store, When you're in that mall environment, you get a lot of people just walking through and, and a lot of people just kicking tires and not really buying anything. So I think they found slowly, through the 80s and whatnot, that now this guy's just going to absolutely be a total asshole. Jesus Christ. Frickin' idiot. He's got to just, he sees me getting on the freeway here, and I'm way out ahead of him, and he's got my blinker on, and he's just, pushing, just don't let him in. Arsehole. Hope karma gets him.
Yeah, maybe not today, but down the road. Probably will get caught or whatever. I even forgot what you were talking about. But but yeah, no, I think we were saying, this is, most of the stuff is just us experimenting and tinkering and, we do it because it's possible. And then, everything comes back to common things, right? Like, I think folks really like the idea that they can pick up a microphone and talk and that it's one person at a time. And, there's a lot to be said with having the one person talking at a time, but you also have to, the people have to get used to, a time limit, right? I've been talking for about a minute. Maybe I should shut up.
Yeah, that's always been the
first thing a person's got to learn is that, you know, that half duplex, you know, type conversation. And, they learn to talk full duplex in person and over the telephone, and it takes them a while to get that whole talk, listen thing down. So that's always been the case. And, and then people got pretty common with it because everybody had some experience with it one way or the other. You know, now we're cutting back to a world where people have no concept of it, you know. So, radio is, for the most part, a thing of the past. Until a Chinese trawler tears up your intercontinental cables and takes out all your communications, then they're going to be going, how do I use this thing?
Yep. I mean, I don't think radio's ever going to have a way to do full duplex unless, I mean, how would you even do that? Unless you could do it with two people. You know, people are listening on opposite frequencies or something, but you can't do it with multiple parties like that. And that's where the conference bridges and things like that, you know, stuff like Discord and, like, and a lot of that comes from people playing video games, too. Like, they were coordinating in a video game and things like that. But I always wonder, like, okay, so in the video games, so a lot of them are like these warfare games, right? And people are talking, coordinating. You don't have full duplex in the military, right? So what do? They probably have to do short talking, right?
No, quite honestly, I don't know what the state of the technology is in the military. You know, they certainly could have something more phone-like, you know, utilizing what satellites and whatnot. I don't know. I really don't know what the state of the art is. I'm imagining it's still a half duplex type affair. So, but I got peeps I can ask. I never really thought about it.
I bet you they got some kind of UFO technology, multiplex communication. Who knows? But, maybe they just do half duplex. But, you notice you listen to, like, police and fire and all that stuff. Very brief, very to the point, short transmission.
Same-day road test. So if you ever need to do a same-day road test, I know where you can do it.
Does that mean they'll teach you and then do the same-day road test?
I have no idea. You can look it up at officialdrivingschool.com.
Ooh, officialdrivingschool.com.
Oh, it looks like samedayroadtest.com as well. They're just gobbling up the domains.
Affiliate link below. Yeah, I'll never buy, after what Captain Don told me about affiliate links and how much people get for you clicking on their affiliate links to buy stuff, it's like, I'm never going to click on somebody's affiliate link to get a deal. It's got to be a really good deal. If I get 50% off of whatever, maybe, but I think a lot of them, like, you get like 20% off and 20% of the sale goes to the person that had the affiliate link. It's like, that's marked up pretty high there.
I got suckered into something today, but she was hot, so I clicked on it. Man, sucker, why'd you do that? All of a sudden, everything was like in Croatian on my screen. Wasn't anything permanent or damaging or anything like that, but I had to shut down and go back into Facebook.
That's how they get ya. Only thing I did today, Black Friday purchase-wise, was the Alex, the, what do you call it? Oh, the Alex A, I don't want to trigger anybody's things. Devices went on sale for half off today, and they limited you. You could only buy two. So there's they're really good. Their new one that has the alarm clock built into it, and it shows a little bit of information, but it's not like a display that shows ads. That thing is normally like $79. It was like $44 or something like that. It's like, well, I'm looking to put a bunch in my house here in some places, so like, this is the price point to get in. I was holding off, and I bought a few of those, so I'm only going to open one before I commit to the other one just to see how it is. But, yeah, that way I can drop in and yell at the kids and say, come down for dinner or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how, feature for feature how they line up, but I bought, I've got, of course, the show, the Echo Show, I think, and then I've got a Google Nest, and I much prefer the Google ecosystem, so my TV devices are Google, and I prefer the Google show. The Google show lets me do, a lot of regular things that you would do. It allows me to go to YouTube and play Pandora, and it's just a lot more user friendly as far as that goes. Whereas the Amazon, what the hell's going on here? That's a lot of flashy blue and red lights. Here, figure out what's going on. I'm at Mac and Casu. There is a ton of lights on here. What the heck is going on here? But anyhow, yeah, I much prefer the Google just because it's much more, a lot more of the stuff you're used to you can do on it. Amazon, tends to cloister you into their system, a lot more, and the thing that makes me the most upset about them, at least on their display devices, is they're just constantly taking me to trashy, worthless games and things, apps they come up, and, you brush the thing to try to get rid of it, and it accidentally goes into a, it's an accident, okay. Anyhow, and, I don't want to see that. And I go and I turn everything off, and it doesn't matter. Stuff's always popping up, and it's always accidentally launching. And, it's like, no, I don't ever want to see this stuff again. You think it would get that? Hell no. So I've pretty much done with the Alex A's. I mean, I got a couple still. I got one at work on my desk, and I've got one in my front room. They got that display one. I'm just not real happy with the Amazon ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I didn't want any show devices. I don't want any display devices. They're all slow. They're all clunky. All I want it for is, well, this one has, like I said, it's got like a clock display and maybe a few icons on it, and that's it. It's kind of like, imagine having the show, but it's only got like an LED panel or whatever. For the clock, and use it as an alarm clock. So I was thinking of just putting it in, using it in the kids' rooms, and then they can have one in their room, and they can use it as an alarm clock. I can also use it as an intercom, sort of. And we'll see how that goes. Like I said, I'm only going to open one and try it out, and before I commit to the other ones and do some tests, if I can always return them, they're unopened and all that stuff, so we'll see. If I like it, I'll keep it. But one of the things is they're really good with their automation, so that's something that I kind of was like, when I was looking at doing the research or whatever, they were saying that they're just a little bit better than Google for the automation stuff.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I like better on the Amazon network. Yeah, I like the fact that you can use alternate names besides, you know, Alex A. And I actually do that. You know, my one at work is responds to Ziggy. And there's several that, you know, you can use. That's smart. I don't know. That would be so easy to implement by the other, you know, other ones. But, you know, the Google device has got, you know, you got two choices. You can say okay, or you can say okay, or, and then, you know, the word, and then hey. Yeah, okay or hey, followed by, you know, Google, and that's it. You know, it's like, one, it's too many syllables, and you know, it's, why can't I do something interesting? Like, you know, why can't I make it anything? Why can't I make the trigger word whatever the hell I want? You know, it seems like it would be easy.
It's probably all for branding, because what happens if you make a Google device answer to, you know, Alexa, and vice versa, then it's kind of, I don't know. I don't think that's the reason why. I think probably the reason why is they have a, and I'm just speculating, I don't know here, that their chip just happens to be, like, perfected for that particular word. Like, they've, like, they've got, like, an always-on chip that's very power-efficient that can respond to that or something. I'm guessing, I don't know. But that would seem to be the, you know, plausible reason.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? But all right. Anyhow, I have reached my destination. I got to get inside and figure out what my itinerary is for the next couple of 3 days, and go from there. After I figure out where I'm camping out and where I'm going to set up, I'll probably get the nodes online, get my little HD out, and I'll probably be back on the network one or the other. Not terribly long, but I got stuff to do beforehand. Hell, I don't even know when the kids are leaving. They're probably not leaving. I think they're leaving O-Dark 30, so. All right, catch ya. W8FUF yours.
I can't believe it's almost 9 o'clock already. All right, talk to you later. KF8S.
N8KPP.